Charles Barkley and the TNT crew after the game. And he's right. Anybody wants to challenge the Celtics, they will have to raise their game. The Knicks did not do that last night. Aside from, aside from Brunson, no one on offense was particularly impressive. It is, again, a new team. It's a team that's going to have to gel and get used to each other and all of that. These aren't a bunch of veterans all getting together. Karl Anthony Towns is in his 20s. Bridges in his 20s. I think that you're sort of looking at a team that's going to take a little while to come together. Bridges had an okay game, I guess. He shot okay, but missed a bunch of threes. Ananobi had a bad game shooting. Brunson was fine. Towns was kind of invisible, I thought. After the first 24 minutes, they kind of pulled him out, and you didn't see much of him after that. And really, nobody else stepped up. And I think that for a Knicks team that was so active in the offseason, so active, trades, extensions, free agent signings, all of that, it was a pretty disappointing debut for them, even though they put up 109 points, which is certainly respectable. I mean, that's not a bad total or anything like that. But you're going to have to do a lot more than that to beat the Celtics, as Barkley said. And I think that that was a warning shot across the bow to the rest of the league, you know, because a lot of teams looked at the Knicks and thought, okay, you know, that team may have passed Milwaukee and Cleveland and Philly and these other teams here that are all trying to knock off the Celtics too. This may be their number one contender, and they didn't look like they were contending very much last night.
Yeah, no, the Celtics sent a message. Now, I think it's a tough spot, unfair spot for the Knicks a little bit to be a team that comes together so late in the process, and then the energy and emotion of opening night. We talked about it. It was at least three or four in a row. The banner-raising team wins the game.
Yep.
So I don't – if I'm the Knicks, I don't look at this like, oh, my God, what have we done? Like, this was a disastrous offseason, disastrous pairing of players together. No, I look at it as we were in a tough spot. Were we ready? Absolutely not. And they sent a message, and this is more about what the Celtics are, which we knew they were. We knew, and Barkley's right, like, you're going to have to do something pretty impressive most nights to beat the Celtics, which is why it's such a foregone conclusion or whatever that when you get to the playoffs, that's not enough. It's not about doing enough on one-off
right.
night. It's about, can I win four games against them in a seven-game series? And to expect them to play so poorly, barring injuries, I've now accepted it's just injuries. I've removed all the others. You know, the, oh, maybe Tatum and Brown won't get along again, or maybe
the sale of the team or something could be a problem.
No, like, it's just injuries. If they're healthy, there is no reason they should not win the NBA title.
Like, yeah.
I don't have anything. I got nothing. And I know
agree.
That's the most homerific NBC Sports Boston green teamer take you can have, but sometimes it's just true, right?
Yeah.
Like, if everybody's saying it, who isn't saying it? I guess... Was it Perk? Nobody's afraid of him.
Perk's the only one. Perk said that the Knicks had the best starting five. Do we have that, by the way, Jackson? Do we have Perk talking about who the best starting five in the East, or maybe he said in the NBA is, because that was right after the Knicks trade. That was after the Knicks had traded for Towns and brought these other guys in. And a lot of people were riding that wave. A lot of people thought, ooh, this is big. This is big for New York. The Celtics are going to be a team with a big target on their back. And now here come the new look New York Knicks. And they weren't particularly scary. I don't know. I think that they will get better. I think that they will be a good team in the Eastern Conference. They'll give the rest of the teams in the East, I think, good games. But they weren't ready. They weren't ready to face this Celtics team, and that was clear last night.
And they will definitely get better. I'm sure they took it on the chin a little bit, and Tibbs, you know, like I mentioned that timeout in the second half early on, he looked really frustrated there. It was almost like, wait, we're not even going to do anything better in the second half. We're going to continue to be the piñata or the toy to the Celtics here on their opening night. But they were built to beat the Celtics.
Right.
And they didn't beat the Celtics. They didn't even compete with them. They didn't hang with them for one game on one night in a tough spot. So I'm sure there's some frustration there among Knicks fans and certainly within that locker room.
Yeah, there should be. And for Celtics fans and for that team, they picked up literally right where they left off. That
yep.
looked exactly like how they were winning games before. It was the same kind of just like Terminator mentality where you don't even think about it. You're just hucking up threes, no conscience. You're beating teams, you're blowing them out, you're putting your backups in, they're hitting three. Everybody's sort of just shaking their ass in the opponent's face. Here's Perk from earlier after that the Knicks flurry of moves that put that roster out there.
Well, I would even go on record right now and saying that this New York team, their starting five, is the best starting five in the NBA on paper. Now, they certainly have to go out and they have to go out and play, right? We start training camp right now, and when you look at certainly Carl at the five and then OG at the four and Anobi, health is going to play a big role. My only concern, Perk, is their depth. And I know losing Dante DiVincenzo hurts as far as who comes off the bench for this New York team, but that starting five, including the Boston Celtics, is as good as any starting five in the NBA right now.
Okay, so
I got an assist from our guy Brian in the back, which I very much appreciate, but I don't appreciate that. Wasn't that the right clip?
No, Perk was in the clip, but that was Bobby Marks, and yes. I remember when he said that now. And yes, Perk was happy to hear that.
Yes,
finally, someone else who could be like, yeah, all right, hey, my buddy, we don't like the Celtics. We're going to rip the Celtics. Like, that's pretty much his thing at this point. And it's not going to be – listen – it's a great time to be a green teamer. Let me put it to you that way. Stool Greeny over there at Barstool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Celtics honks out there who are been predicting this sort of thing for years now. And now here it is. I mean, this is what a lot of people expected or hoped was going to be the culmination of the Brown and Tatum era, is a team like this. A team that was able to win like this and blow teams out like this and steamroll over everybody on their way to the championship, into the next season, etc. That's partially what these expectations were, and why when they kept coming up short, it was so disappointing, knowing that they were capable of this kind of play. Now, I don't know that team, that old Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart team, right? Like, you know, those early teams, I'm not necessarily sure. Jay Crowder, I don't think they were capable of doing what this team's doing, to be sure. But you knew that those two together were a special pairing. You knew that there was something there, two special players. Could they play together was the big question. You surround them with enough people that are able to be both contributors, productive players, and role players at the same time. Guys like White and Holiday, those guys are role players on this team, but they're very important role players, and they could be all-stars on their own. So, you know, and they have been all-stars. So that's a pretty special mix of players and a tough thing to compete with.
Absolutely. You're the hoop head on the show.
Absolutely.
More of a hoop head than
100%.
I am. So how do you argue that the Knicks have the better starting five when the Boston Celtics have three players that were on the Olympic basketball team,
mm-hmm.
and one who's better than a couple of them that should have been on the Olympic team? It was scandalous. So you have four players that are on the, how many, 13? How many were on that team? I don't think it was 15 even.
I forget. Yeah,
I think it was less than 15. I think it was like 13 or 4. Like, so four of the Team USA players, and I'm not saying that means the be-all, end-all. It's like an all-star team, not necessarily all. But how do you make that argument? And then mix in Porzingis, who when healthy is one of the most unique players in the NBA. Unicorn. I keep going back to it. He was Wembanyama before Wembanyama got here.
Yep.
Like, that was what he was supposed to be when he was with the Knicks, that trajectory he was supposed to be on. I just think the Celtics are that good. It's okay to acknowledge it. You know what's also okay to do? Root against them. For the rest of the world, they are. It's okay to have them be Mike Tyson or the Yankees or whichever team you want to, the Patriots, for that run.
Canadians, yeah.
It's okay for them to be on top of the world and give the measuring stick. And that's the reality. I think that makes sports better for both sides. The bullying side, that is Boston right now. That is us. I know people will hate it because they feel like too often in the last 20 years on some court or field somewhere, we were on top of that mountain.
Wah.
But, right, and it's fun. And it's also fun for them to want to make us not reach where we're supposed to be. Make sure we do underachieve. Make sure we don't get records and more titles and back-to-back.
And again, there's something to be said for the parity that we've had over the last 5 years in the NBA with different champions each year.
Right.
That's not an inherently bad thing. But I do think it's better when there's
absolutely
big bad to knock off.
The Warriors, the Bulls.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
and when it just happens to be the team that you cover and you followed all your life, it's even better. But yes, that's 100%, I think, the more favorable thing than a new champion every year. Who the hell wants that?
No.
You know, that's lame. And
that's,
I know,
fun.
Celtics just won one recently, but yeah, you want to see dynasties. People are just naturally drawn to that and the drama that surrounds it and the idea of knocking off the big bad team. I mean, that's
it's a huge
part of sports.
It also makes it validates what you achieve.
Right.
Whoever you are, that's what we were talking about for the Celtics to be an all-time dynasty, for them to be an all-time great team. Obviously, numbers will put them there, however many games you win, go undefeated at home, break a wins record, whatever that. But if you go through a team that either looks like an elite team or maybe even ends up being an elite team.
Sure.
Right? Like, you could get
the Giants beating the Patriots in 07, or, you know, I mean, they validated the hell out of all those guys.
But even more so, like, Brady beating Mahomes at the end of his run validated just how great he was, because now Mahomes said, whew, thank God Brady's gone. Now I can be the best damn team. Maybe OKC is that team. Maybe they wait in the... Remember when the Celtics, the whole talk was wait till LeBron's out of the East and then the Celtics will take over?
Right.
Maybe OKC is the team that loses a couple times to the Celtics. Yes, I'm giving them multiple titles and a dynasty here. And then OKC takes over when new ownership says, we can't keep this. We got to break this up. Right? Like, but if OKC then goes on to win two or three in a row, that will help validate the prior success. You know what I mean? Like that measuring stick idea.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to your phone calls. Kelvin is in Haverhill. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'd like to know if I was the only person that win yesterday because all the shooting and they missed every shooting.
At the end when they were trying to get the record, you were furious by that.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought that was a pretty funny end to that game. I was laughing pretty hard.
And another thing, the Celtics need to look. They don't have a bench. Well, all the shooting, they see they don't have no bench. They need to fix that.
I think they don't need to really fix much. Yeah. The bench, I think, is okay. Listen, I mean, they had the bench coming in. They emptied the bench at the end of the game, right? With Jordan Walsh and, Quaita and who else was out there? Xavier Tillman. Xavier Tillman got some minutes before then, I guess. It was really just Walsh and Quaita at the end who got the garbage time minutes in the very, very end. But Hauser was good. Cornette was pretty good. Grabbed some rebounds out there. He wasn't out there very long. Pritchard had a bad game shooting, but I expect Pritchard to have a very good year. I know you do. You think he's going to be sixth man of the year. That's not, I think, what you're going to be getting on a nightly basis from Peyton Pritchard. I think he's going to go out there and be a very productive guy off this bench. And at some point, also, when Porzingis comes back, Horford's going to be part of that bench. Right. So their bench is fine. I think they have really nothing to worry about with their bench.
Yeah, no, I don't think depth, if they stay healthy, again, because we are penciling in Porzingis and assuming Horford sticks around, the two biggest question marks health-wise. And if both of those guys are a concern, then yes, that zaps into your depth. But I don't think their bench should be measured based on the poor shooting in the final seconds trying to hock it up to get a record.
Jason Tatum last night was 14 of 18 from the field, 8 of 11 from 3 with 4 rebounds and 10 assists.
Mm.
He was magnificent last night. Like he
That's a good word.
He was really like just in control of everything. I don't often subscribe to the whole revenge tour stuff, but if that was the beginning of the revenge tour for Jason Tatum, I'm in. This is going to be a fun season. It's going to be fun watching him go out there and hopefully develop that killer instinct because he had it last night. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we return, we'll go over the ceremony, the raising of the banner, the bringing out of the old players, Bob Cousy out there chucking peace signs in the wheelchair and everything else that went into the pregame ceremony, and part of it which didn't even get caught on TV because TNT just couldn't deal with it. Anyway, that's next.